Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here with your hostess, yours truly, Lisa Marie, here on Bride, Bubbly, and Brunch. And what a blessing it is to be here with you on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. And I certainly hope that you are enjoying this wonderful, beautiful day, as well as your Memorial Day 2020. Weekend, and what a blessing it is to be here with you to share more with you regarding the mystical rose, mothers and flowers, and it's a blessing to be here to pronounce the blessing of the benediction upon you for your attendance in this celebration, and I'm really honored to include in the benediction, remembrance and the honorariums that I'll be giving to those who served, not only in faith, but in service, in their service, not only in the faith and life, but as it relates to the whole duty of man. And what is the whole duty of man? The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's it. Fear God and keep his commandments. And we do that by love. Amen. We serve the Lord. I serve the Lord because I love him. Simply because I love him. Amen. And Jesus said, he that love it much, forgive it much, love it much. So your love is measured by how much you, your love is measured by how much you love. Hallelujah. And it's always a blessing to be here with you on Lisa Marie's Bride, Supper, and Brunch. And I love coming to you from Lisa Marie's Bride, Supper, and Brunch because it celebrates the bride, which we are. We're the Lord's, the Lord's pasture. We're his church. We're his watchmen. We're his friends. We're his first fruits, And the bubbly is celebrated by the new wine of the Holy Spirit. And brunch is one of my favorite times of the day on Sunday, because you can have a little bit of breakfast and a little bit of lunch. So it gives you brunch. So that was one of the inspirations of me creating and birthing brunch, bubbling brunch on Sundays to celebrate all three of those wonderful things. And I'm not going to prolong the time, but I go right into the salutation. The salutation the Lord gave me for the benediction. And it's been a while before, a while since I've done benediction, which is, again, the pronouncing of the blessing in the close of each offering that I do. The benediction is very important at the close of a service, because, or any anything that you do in giving glory, honor, to praise in your office in service of the Lord, it seals it. It puts an amen on it. It seals it, and it's blessed. So it was a blessing to come to you and pronounce a benediction upon you, which is a blessing. And that's so important to me, because I value your time. I value your believing my witness and receiving Brides of Christ Women's Ministries and receiving me as a ministry gift. So I wanted to share with you Thessalonians, the third chapter, the first to the 18th verse, because this is the foundational scripture that I was inspired to share with you in the benediction, in pronouncing the benediction. And in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, this is the salutation of Paul. And one of the things I love about Paul is that everything he wrote with his own hands. He wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, being an apostle. And I so love Paul, because he not only was an apostle of Jesus Christ, but he was so humble in remembering that he was also a servant, and his love not only for Christ but for his church, and praying for the church. And in the opening epistle of 2 Thessalonians, we see him asking for prayer. And in this letter that he was writing in closing the book of 2 Thessalonians, he says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have recourse, may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." And this is something that we must remember in serving the Lord, in our holding fast to the apostles' doctrine, that not only do we need prayer, and must we beseech God for prayer, and we seek prayer from other saints, other believers, we must pray that the word of God has free course, and that the word of God be glorified in its preaching, in its proclamation, in its delivery. He said, because of unreasonable men, wicked men, not all men have faith. Not all men or women are of the faith. And unreasonable men are men that are not only wicked, they're unmerciful. They're unreasonable in their thinking, because usually wicked men who are unreasonable in their thinking, which is based on pride, often operate from flesh, from their own righteousness. They're really dictators. And so he not only was saying verse and warning about unreasonable with the men, but that we may be delivered from them. We may be kept from them. But he goes on to say, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil, and have confidence in the Lord touching you." Amen. That you both do and will do the things which we command you. So in his salutation, as he begins to close Second Thessalonians, he's reminding us of what things we should touch on, having confidence, not only that we both do the things that we were instructed to do, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Amen. And so everything, again, that we do works by not only faith, which is substance of things, hope for everything, things not seen, faith, which is the faith based on the Lord Jesus Christ, the fair resurrection. He said that the Lord direct your heart into the love of God. So, again, it's a heart thing. It's a heart matter. It's the state of your heart. Because with the heart, a man believes into righteousness. Now, he goes on to say, into the patient waiting of Christ. Or for Christ, shall I say. Patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother or sister that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. So this is a warning. In the second part of this salutation, he's warning against those who are idle, those who are busybodies, those who are not keeping the faith and honoring your faith by their disobedience. And he instructs the church of Thessalonians to withdraw themselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he had received of us. That's acknowledging him as the vessel of God whom he's used to write to the churches. He goes on to say, for yourselves know how we ought to follow us, for we have behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Amen. So, again, our harvest is based on what we sow. Amen. If you don't sow, you won't reap. He said, if a man don't work, he don't eat. Amen. And so we must be about our Father's business. And so if we're called to fulfill the Great Commission, whatever we're called to do in his name, we must do it being an example. Amen. Not eating our bread in for naught, or eating another man's bread for naught. So we must remember that our labor must be in the Lord. Amen. And only what we do for Christ will last. Now he goes on to say, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busy bodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Amen. And that's what I always say, that we should eat our bread in quietness. We should eat our bread in confidence. Whatever it is we're called to do, we should do it in order. Amen. And in quietness. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work. The Holy Spirit that's working through us. He goes on to say, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. And have no company with him, that ye may be ashamed, that he may be ashamed, yet count him not as an enemy, but abolish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle. So, all right. So that's the benediction. That was the last part of this letter, in him writing the salutation with his own hands, which is a token of every epistle that he writes. Amen. So I wanted to make sure that I declared that to you and put your remembrance of what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. And one of the things that I always am blessed by is being reminded of what it means to learn. And one way you know that you're learning is if you, first and foremost, retain what you learned and you allow yourself to be reminded of it and that you do it. You're able to apply it. And being able to apply what you learn is based on, again, the state of your heart, state of the soul and the seed that's planted. And that learning of anything should always be humility. Amen. And it should always bring forth fruit, good fruit. So there you have it, 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, 1st through the 18th verse. Now, on to the exhortation of blessing of the benediction. And as I was putting this together, I was praying about this first holiday of the new season, which is Memorial Day. And I was reminded of the blessing of Memorial Day, which is the memories that we have that remind us of the moments that we've shared and created with that special person, place, or event. Person, place, or event. And as I was, you know, praying about the memorial, not only of, you know, those who's gone before me, but those who, again, have served this country, or have served in whatever capacity in the earth, in the world, that they continue to be remembered and honored for their service. And it's especially a blessing when you have those who have served in the Lord, in the reverence of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, in the Lord's name. Hallelujah. And one memory and memorial that was important in this, on this Memorial Day, is remembering the Lord, remembering the Lord and what he did and what he gave us as a tribute and a custom that we can do every time we think of him. And that's drink of his blood and eat of his body, taking up Holy Communion. He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me, and you show forth my death till I come. So I really was blessed to be reminded of communion and remember the Lord and what he did for us, and how that's manifested every day in our life by way of something dying, something being buried, or something being resurrected. So first memorial to the Lord and what he has done in my life, in your life, and not only what he's done, that we now have a testimony, hallelujah, a testimony and a testament of those things by faith. Amen. Now, this salutation gives honor to those who have lived a life, again, of service and faith. And I dedicated it to this year, 2020. As I began to continue to pray and seek the Lord about what he wanted me to share with you about this rotation in memorial of, he was reminding me that there will be crowns laid up for us in heaven for the life of faith that we've lived in holiness, that we have lived here on earth by overcoming the world. Now, however you make it to glory is all good. As long as I make it in, it's all good. But it's really a blessing to be able to enter into heaven, knowing that we enter into heaven as overcomers, having kept the faith. And that's why the saints are so precious, because those who were martyred, those who have filled their course and fulfill God's will, did it by overcoming. Amen. And that's being steadfast and unremovable. Whether reception into heaven was reception in heaven was by rapturing or collecting or by suffering, they were received because they kept the faith. And one of the things that I was blessing the Lord for in him giving me this was what he was saying to me about the tribute that we give those who have served, and those who we remember, and those who we give tributes to. And he was saying to me, these are praiseworthy. These celebrants are praiseworthy of the celebration because of their service in reverence of the Lord. And when he gave me that, he gave me Romans the 13th chapter, the 1st through the 8th verse. Wow, those threes are really saying something. That's as long as the 3rd chapter. Then I have Romans the 13th chapter. It's 1 through 18. And then I have Romans 1 through 8. Wow. I'm big on numbers, so I just got to notice that. Romans 13 chapters 1 through 8. And what he was saying to me and giving me this, it was really not only apostolic anointing, but it was really a reverence that I felt and what he is doing in the earth realm by way of his order, Christ's order, the apostolic order in the earth realm. It relates to his power, his dominion, and those who serve the Lord, and those who we are remembering fulfill their vocation, fulfill the will of God for their life, according to that power, in that power. And so, the thing that I really began to receive from the Lord as he gave me this is a real reverence for the Holy Spirit and for his power. And as the Word of God says, all powers that be are ordained of God, as it says here in the first verse. He said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Every power is ordained of God, and whatever power that is been instituted, that's operating by way of vocation and office, election, ordination, it is of God. And he said, goes on to say, but of God, whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So the power of God is not just power, the power of God based on the Holy Ghost in the church. His power is manifested in the universe, manifested in the earth realm by way of pencil powers, municipality, shall I say, jurisdictions, courts, all of that. And when we don't respect the power of God or respect that which has been instituted or installed or elected, whether we like it or not, he said, we receive to ourselves damnation. Now, I remind you, he's talking to the Romans. He's talking to the church. This letter Paul wrote, he was writing to the church. So those are the ones who were supposed to be receiving this instruction. And if we are the true church and you are the true church and you are a true believer and a disciple, you don't get caught up with the cares of this world and the affairs of this life. We are to pray according to the word of God and respect the powers that be, whether we like it or not. whether we agree with it or not. Because again, God, the Father, can use and work through anyone, amen, to fulfill his purpose and his will. And one of the things I was blessing God for is, as I was preparing this, he was reminding me of again, how those who serve, and those even who serve today, so this is not just a memorial of those who have passed on, even though it's a memorial day for those who've gone on to serve, but it's also for those of us who have a living testament, living will. I'm a living testament of what God is saying, and I'm remembering what he's saying even now by way of the word of the Lord, and it put me in remembrance. And he was saying that those who have served, that not only would their legacies be remembered, but their heritage. Hallelujah. Their heritage will be remembered for all generations. And I was like, wow, God, blessed the nations who Lord is God. Blessed the nations who God is the Lord. Because, again, God is about blessing nations. And that's one of the things that I was blessing him for in giving me this, not only based on tribute, but also based on custom and culture. Amen. God has no respect for persons. And that's why it's important to remember that we worship God, and we serve God in spirit and in truth. Amen. And God's the creator of all humanity. He's the creator of all tongues and nations. And whatever culture you're of, whatever ethnicity you're of, God created us. And so it's really a blessing to remember that God is our maker. And when God searches for a man or searches for a woman, he searches for one who has a pure heart, who is willing to serve him and do his will. Amen. Do his will. And allow his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, he goes on to say in Romans regarding resisting the powers that are ordained of God and what the result will be, which will be damnation. He said, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. That means anyone who is serving, who is a ruler, is not one, not a terror for good works, but to evil. So if there's any fear, it should not be because of that leader who's serving to do evil. It should be good. And that's what I often say about having faith. You know, if you have true faith, he said, perfect love casts out all fear. You don't have to fear something that you know is for good. Jesus is our great shepherd, our high priest. And he said, my purpose is to reign over you, do you good all the days of your life and not evil. Amen. He said, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of love, thoughts of peace, thoughts of love to give you an expected end. So rulers, leaders, if that's what you profess to be or confess to be, if that's what God calls you to be, it's not to be a terror, but to be for good works. He said, will thou then not be afraid of the power? He said, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Thou shalt have praise of the same. So, you know, I don't have to fear anything, whether it be good or whether it be evil or not, because that which is good, God blesses. Amen. And that's why we have to really pray and pray for good men and pray for make decisions and electing people that are good as much as possible. We often say God will choose between the lesser evils when it comes to man. He said, there's none that do good, no, not one. So when it comes down to it, God will take the lesser evil. Always. Always, always, always. Now, he goes on to say that do that which is good, and then thou shalt have praise the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Every person that has served our country, every person who served in faith and lived in faith, they were for good. They were good. Jesus was good. Everything God made was good. Hallelujah. For the minister of God is to thee for good. But, if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. As I often say, there's two sides to God. God rather do with you in his love. But if you're contrary and rebellious, he will deal with you accordingly. For he beareth not the sword in vain. That's the next scripture says. For he is the minister, he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must need be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Amen. So the ministers of God, those who are in his stead, have the power and the authority to deal with you accordingly. And oftentimes when I'm praying for those who ask for my prayer and want my counsel, one of the things I often have to deal with is them wanting me to deal with them based on how they see themselves. And yes, Jesus died for our sins. Yes, he went out in his image, but we have to manifest that through our nature, through our behavior. And I don't believe in bestowing blessings on people and them have itching an ears and tell them what they want to hear. Because I will be held accountable to God and not ministering to them according to what the word says, and that's according to truth. Amen. So he was saying, you must need to be subject, not only because of the wrath of God, but also because your conscience sake. You should want your conscience to be clear, and you should want to have a God conscience. He goes on to say, for this cause pay tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that love another had fulfilled the law. Amen. So he said, owe no man but to love him. Owe no man but to love him. Amen. And render to honor is due. Now, I want to quickly go to Matthew, the 26th chapter, because this is also another scripture that he gave me that he spoke of when it came to tribute. And that's the woman who had the Esther ballot box, who he said would always be remembered in the scriptures for her tribute upon him. Amen. And anointing him by this precious oil that she had. And when he gave me this, I was really blessing him for it, because, you know, our tribute to God and our service to God is not based on what's costly. And the whole thing about him giving me Matthew was that she gave it and gave it to the Lord. And when we give God our service and give God our alms and our time, he will bless it. And in this passage of scripture, we see where there was some that were standing by who was upset about what she did, because the oil she had was very precious and costly. And they thought she could have sold it and given it and used it in some other capacity. They felt she wasted it, but nothing is wasted when you give it to the Lord. Amen. When you use it for his glory. Hallelujah. So I wanted to touch on that, because he was saying to me that he reminded me of her. And I was like, wow, God, you said whenever the gospel is preached, she will be remembered. And he gave me this, and he remembered her in this offering, I mean, in this benediction. I mean, there's no way I could have, in my own natural mind, remembered her. He brought her to my attention. So I'm like, wow, God, that's fulfillment. Hallelujah. And so the Lord is saying, whatever you do for him, he will bless it. And it's not about how much a thing cost or how much you give. It's about the intent. It's about the purpose. And I was also reminded of the widow's mite, how she gave one mite and she gave all more than all the others because she gave it with a pure heart. Now I'm going to go down to Mark the 12th chapter because I also included this one in here because he gave me Mark 12th chapter 14th and 17th verse. And he was saying to me that, again, that we ought to give honor to where honor is due. Where honor is due. And in Mark, we see where when he came to a certain city, they came to him and inquired of him and said and knew that he cares for no man. And that's the thing about Jesus. He had no respect for persons. He favored the disciples and chose the disciples. But in that choosing and favoring them, they still had to follow his leading. But they were saying here that and recognizing him as being the teacher, rabbi, who teaches the way of God and truth. And asking him about, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And he's simply saying, yes, it is. Yes, it is. He told him, pull out the coin. What face you see on the coin? Who's on the coin? Who's on the money? And he said, whose inscription is on that? He said, okay, that's Caesar. And Jesus answered and said to him, render to Caesar those things that are due Caesar, and to God those things that are due God. Amen? So in this benediction, I'm really blessed to have declared this because he's simply saying that all we have to do is honor his order. Amen. A lot of times it's not going to be what we feel it should be. It's not. It may not be what it's supposed to be. But again, God will honor the saints, the true believer, when we remember that. Amen. When we pray accordingly, when we pray according to his will, according to what's in the mind of the Spirit, if we pray being filled with the Spirit, amen, and not letting the affairs of this life and politics move us or cause us to lose our place in God from dealing with things in such a natural way. Amen. We are the true church, and we are the bride of Christ. As he said, the government should be upon his shoulders. You have the ability to change things by our prayers, by our vocation, by the power of God that's invested in us. Amen. So I pray that you will get that straight today. If you have it twisted or if you were in error, go back to the scriptures of what the scripture said, and most importantly, stay in your lane and do what God's called you to do according to the power that he's invested in you and according to how he want to manifest himself through you. According to the administration of the Holy Spirit, your office, and to God be the glory. To God be the glory for everything that he has done and he's continuing to do. So I bless you. I bless your life, your living memorial, the things that you're doing now and have done and will do in his name. Hallelujah. Again, only what we do for Christ will last. I bless those and the memory of those who have served in the faith, those who have served in this country and abroad and in the whole world. And God bless your household. God bless you. And God bless your memory. God bless your arms and your stewardship. God bless that which he has given you. Amen. We have been predestined. Our fate has already been determined. And the blessed thing about salvation and the bridal path is that if we err, we can always get back on track. Amen. We can always get back on course by going back to God's word, going back to the altar, going back to the cross. Amen. And remembering that we're going to give an account. We will give an account. All will appear before the white throne judgment. And I want him to say, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well, that's all the time I have for today. I am working on June's offering. I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited. I can't wait till I finish it so I can unveil it to you and share with you everything that he's saying for the month of June. I bless God for you and your families. I pray you stay safe. I hope you continue to enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. And may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and keep you in all your ways is my prayer. Peace, blessings, and much love.